Brian Bulaga. Ow. All right, Brian. Yeah, sooner or later, in theory, this is the earliest we've started a 10 o'clock hour on a Brian Bulaga Wednesday. On the flip side, we're keeping him for another segment, so it's going to be a while. Brian, you broke down the film. You had not had access to the All 22 on NFL Plus when we hosted the show together while Sonoma Sal over here was traveling. So what did you see when you broke it down? What did you see up front? What did you see about the run game and all the fakes and misdirections and motions that they did? What jumped out at you during your film breakdown?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I said it Monday with you and with Homer. Like, it was a really creative game plan, and they were base runs with some wrinkles in them, which, you know, hey, you can't teach these guys 50 new things and expect them to be really good at them in 4 days. But there were some really nice wrinkles, like the short motions and, like, kind of like the misdirection motions that Reed was doing in the backfield. Like, that's not in the game plan. At least I don't remember when I was there that being a motion or even a look that we gave with the two backs in the backfield. One was a wide receiver and the other one's Jacobs. Like, that wasn't something that we ever did. Now, maybe we didn't have the personnel to do it. I still think it would have been something that we could have gotten to, but we never did. It was just something that I don't ever remember installing. So that was a new look for me to see on tape and see how he utilized that. And what I really liked is how, when this, obviously the run game was good on its own, but the way he designed it to give the defense two different things to watch at once. And when you're able to have a dynamic player like Reed in the backfield or whoever, those receivers that they had, and you have them motioning and jet sweeping one way, and then you have another dynamic playmaker like Jacobs going another way, and then the threat of Malik Willis pulling the ball and following behind Reed, you know, going out the backside of the run, like, that gives the defense a lot of things to look at and pay attention to. And you saw the defense, literally the Colts, being split in half. Mm-hmm. So when you're able to cut a defense dead down the middle and the lineman can hit aiming points really good and cut a defense in half, it opens up running lanes that are just ginormous, even if there is seven guys down in the box. And that's what Jacobs had pretty much all game. Like, he had those types of clean looks throughout the entire game. So when, like, I get it, like, it has to be executed up front. And the guys, I mean, from the tight ends to the receivers to the linemen did a really nice job executing these blocks up front. But you have to scheme that and design that and get that, you know, figured out. And you have to plan it to six-man fronts and seven-man fronts and potentially even eight-man fronts, because that's what LaFleur was probably going through, and Stenovich and Butkus, when they were drawing up this run plan, was like, all right, how does this look against a six-man front, a seven-man front, an eight-man front, and or five-down linemen? Like, they went through all these scenarios, and it looked like everything was blocked up well no matter what the Colts threw at them. So, like, you look at it from outside in, receivers, tight ends, and then linemen. I mean, it was really well done, and you don't have that type of day on the ground unless the guy, all 10 guys are dialed in, and they were. So, like, it was really impressive to see. So, and, you know, the pass game, the guys blocked. There were some screens. There was some, you know, play action rollout, like, really basic in the pass game. But it was well executed for what they asked Malik Willis to do. And, you know, it was clean up front from a pass point per you know, protection standpoint. The only thing I didn't like offensively was the holdings, like the penalties. Like,
yeah, the one on Sheed was garbage, man. That was a bad call.
I didn't like that one. I didn't like the one on Melton on the edge. I didn't like them. I didn't think they were good calls, but they're being called right now, and everyone knows they're being called within the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah,
like, unless
it sucks.
Unless you're the Chiefs, then you don't get those called on you.
Yeah,
but it's
true.
Like, you just got to know early on in the season, like, ticky tack things are going to get called early. Like, like if you're even slightly out of position and you're blocking a guy, they're probably going to throw a flag at this point in the season. As it goes on, the refs get better, and they, you know,
They stop calling everything, and it's a much more enjoyable fan experience. Yeah. I think we're all on the same page.
If I look at it from a whole, I get the second half. Like, the Colts played better, or I don't even know if they played better. I think they made some adjustments. I think guys probably, got a good tongue lashing in the locker room from Gus Bradley and that defensive staff, and there's a little bit of fire lit there. But at the same time, like, the Packers could have put that fire out if Jacobs doesn't fumble on the 1 yard line.
Right.
Yep. 17-0. If it's 17-0, the Colts are done. They have quit. It's over.
Yeah.
And Green Bay may score another 17 points in the second half and absolutely run them out of the gym. But they didn't. They gave the Colts life, and that's the game we saw. But overall, really impressed. Really impressed. The guys up front did great. I mean, the blocking was really good.
Hey, Brian, how much of that scheme that you talked about that you hadn't seen is because of the threat that Malik Willis has with his legs? And did LaFleur – I thought LaFleur was – I thought his whole deal, and I know fans were, well, the second half, you do what you have to do to win. You don't need to continue to put yourself in a position. Play the game that you need to do to win. He did that. It's like he thought this was what was going to happen in the game, and they executed it. But as far as all those run concepts, does that stuff work if Malik Willis isn't a big threat running the football?
No. I think Willis being able to run the football is a big deal out of that, because even – When a quarterback shows that, like, it's not like an option, but when it – like an option run, but when he's showing that fake that he's going to pull the ball and run out of the backside, that freezes three guys on the backside of a defense. And if Willis couldn't run, no one would respect that. Like, perfect example, as if Aaron was doing that in 2014 with his bum calf, no one would care because they know he can't run. So I could care less if he acts like he's going to fake or boot or pull it out and run, because he's not going to do it. And if he does, we'll chase him down in no time. It won't even – he'll get a yard maybe. So, like, if that threat that Willis can't pull it and run isn't there, the game plan looks completely different, because there's no threat of that from the Packers. And I wouldn't be shocked if Malik Willis plays that we're going to see some more designed runs to keep Tennessee honest. I think we're going to see it, because they've showed that now, like, and he didn't do it. He never pulled it once and ran out the backside. So now you'll see if he's playing against the Titans, maybe some over pursuing from the Titans defense, and he's going to pull it and go out the backside and get some big chunks to keep the Titans honest. So, like, he set up a really good plan with Willis to show something on tape, and now they can build off that on tape and show some different things against Tennessee if he's playing, which I'm excited to see, because he's got one week. He's got confidence under his belt. What more can Malik Willis do? I think within the parameters that kind of LaFleur set for him, especially early in his career in Green Bay, they can do some exciting stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun to watch.
Hey, Blue, what was Indy doing? Why were they not going bare front and putting five down earlier? Like, what on earth was Gus Bradley thinking, letting them just sieve him like that? Like, it was actually kind of like, you're looking at, like, how on earth is this? This looked like a Big Ten team against a MAC team.
Wait,
you know, you're just going to pound people into submission.
Before Brian gives the same answer he gave on Monday when you were traveling to Sonoma, this was really interesting. So if you weren't – I'm teasing Tausch, but if you didn't hear Brian on Monday, I thought the exact same thing. That was the first thing I said was, you know they're going to run. What the hell are you doing?
Yep.
But, Brian, talk about the job that LaFleur did with personnel to cause that to be an issue, because I thought that was – I didn't think about that in real time, and that made a lot of sense to me when you explained it that way.
It broke up. I broke –
You broke up with us?
Blue, the personnel groupings and how LaFleur was able to dictate that is what I think Jason is asking.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah. So they what it was he had to match personnel with what LaFleur had on the field. Like, they opened the game in 21. So two tight ends, one tight end was in the backfield, and they ran, like, pretty much just your basic Bob play, you know, back on backer, you know, fullback lead through the hole. And then he goes to 11 and he brings Jaden Reed in and he's motioning in the backfield. So the Colts are matching personnel, which gives the Packers an advantageous look up front. They can't be in a bare front. Because if they do, they're daring Green Bay to throw the ball, which some might have thought they
would
have
say,
done,
yeah,
but they didn't.
I would say, go ahead. Let's see it.
Which they would have thought they might have done, but they didn't. And it burnt them. And that was the gamble Gus Bradley did. You know, these D coordinators and coaches, you know how they are. They're creatures of habit. Like, mm-hmm. they want to run their system against what is on the field. Like, that's how they are. They want to be proven wrong. And they were proven wrong. And by the time mm-hmm. he made the adjustment in the second quarter to go to a five down front,
200 yards. Yeah. Good job, Gus.
It was too late. So like, but to that point, like, I think that's why, like, I give LaFleur so much credit for not just saying we need to go big personnel and try to pound the rock up front. Like, he went 11 personnel a lot and changed the looks of what 11 personnel looks like. Normally everyone's used to tight end on the line, one back, and then the receivers are spread out. No, he's bringing running backs in the backfield. He's giving the Colts different looks. He's running different motions off of it, which the Colts have to respect. And then once they showed Willis will throw the ball a little bit, then they really have to respect it. Like, they're like, we can't just go five down linemen and then have, 11 personnel out there and hope he doesn't beat us, because he showed that he'll throw it and receivers were making plays and getting mm-hmm. open for him. So, like, you got to respect the personnel that's on the field. And, LaFleur did a good job of keeping personnel in the field that kept the Colts out of bringing eight guys down in there. And that's what you needed to do, and they did it. And I don't know what the Colts were thinking, but quite frankly,
yes, we don't
that's
care.
Not LaFleur's
yeah, what do we
problem.
Care? Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
All right, Brian, last thing for me anyway is this. Are you getting your hopes up that Jordan Love plays? Again, my understanding, I know Rob Domofsky has said a couple things and dropped a few breadcrumbs too. My understanding was that the plan all along was for him to miss this game and the last game and then maybe play against the Vikings, and if not, then play against the Rams. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't play this week. That was just the initial plan from how I understood it. Are you allowing yourself to get your hopes up that Jordan Love plays? And if, I always love making you the coach, even though you told us very clearly earlier that you do not get paid the same way. Would you play him? If he wants to play, would you put him at risk, given what kind of team you think you have for the season?
Well, I think if he feels ready, and the discussion was, and kind of what was coming out of Green Bay, was that he was close, right, to playing against the Colts. So,
Jason, did you buy that? Did you buy that, Jason?
Here's what I think. I think in some people's opinion, he was close.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
continue, Blue.
If he was actually close last week, right? I'll rephrase it. If he was actually close last week, like they were saying, I would expect him to be ready to play this week. Now, obviously, mm-hmm. there is gamesmanship that goes on with this, right? It keeps the Titans guessing of what offense they're going to see and who's going to be out. Like, there's a lot that goes into this, and I guess
sure.
that wording from LaFleur was smart by saying he was close last week. Because now the Titans go into it hearing that, going, all right, so, like, what are we preparing for here? Are we preparing for what we just saw against Indy? Or are we preparing for what we saw against Philly? And that's a big difference of game plan. Like, it really, like, these defenses, yeah, they can make minor adjustments on the field, but you can't just switch a game plan mid-game and go, all right, now this is what we have to do now, guys. We didn't talk about this, but this is where we, like, it doesn't happen that way. Like, everyone thinks that a magic wand gets waved on the sideline and a scheme just changes mm-hmm. completely, and now a team does something completely different. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, it can't. There's too much that gets put into the game plan throughout the week that if you say we're scrapping this and throwing this in the trash and we're going to something completely new now here in the second half, it doesn't work. So he put Tennessee in a bind. And listen, if he's ready, I think you play him. If he feels like he's ready and he's moving around and he can protect himself, I think you let him go and play. And that would be the way I'd approach it.
Boy, but aren't you intrigued to see what LaFleur is going to cook up this week with Willis? Like, I'm actually, I want to wait till the Viking game because I think I'm going to be going to it and the Jordan Love comeback. But I really want to see Malik Willis and Matt LaFleur. Can we do it again?
Against Willis's old team.
I'm fascinated. And then the Titans have to trade back to get Malik Willis, a fourth round pick to get him back after this whole thing played out.
No, listen. Like I said earlier, like, I'm excited to see if Willis plays, like, what they come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's exciting. It's when there's not the obvious, like, stud quarterback and the scheme is pretty simple. Like, yeah, it's exciting to see how the quarterback does and, you know, the big, you know. But I think it's more exciting when you have a guy that it's true scheming. Like, it's a true scheme game. Like, you get to see the creativity from the coaching staff and the onus put on certain position groups that, like, they have to step up and play. And that, to me, is exciting. Like, I when you get to see just coaches grinding and their tape and what gets put on tape is, like, their artwork, like, and that's what the scheme is, to me, that's fun to watch. And it may be boring to some people, but what we watched on Sunday was, like,
fun.
Was just amazing to me. So, yeah, that was fun to me. So, like, I would love to see it again. And, like, it's not like we're going against the 49ers. It's not like we're going against the 49ers where, like, that won't work. I'll just tell you right now, that will not work against the 49ers. Right. But it'll work against the Titans and what variation he comes up with. So, like,
gosh, I hope.
I'm excited about it.
Me too.
I'm in for that, too. I want to see Malik Willis have another game like he had and see them win against his former team and see Brian Callahan screaming again at Will Levis, "What the blank are you doing?" And the camera's catching him doing that. That was a highlight for me watching those highlights, too. All right, Brian, great job. It's 10:27 our time. It probably feels even longer for you. We appreciate the extra time with you. You're the best. We'll talk to you next week.
No problem, guys.
That is the fantastic Brian Bulaga. If he had been doing a Prize Picks projection of how much time he would spend on our show today, and the projection was 10:12, we would have definitely been more.
No, he needs to probably – I think we need to start setting it at about 36 and a half minutes. That's about where we fit. And then it's up to Jesse and you how you want to structure that. But when it comes to daily fantasy sports, it's not up to anybody but Prize Picks. America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Over 5 million active members. Most exciting and easiest way to play. So easy, even I can play. All you do, pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. You watch the winnings roll in like old T last week with Caleb. And who else did I have, Jesse? Narvi, Deshaun, Dan Jones. What a weekend for old T. You sign up today. Get $50 instantly when you play for $5. You don't even need to win to get that $50 bonus. Just download the Prize Picks app today. Use that code WI for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code WI on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run
your
game. You know, I can empathize with Woj wanting to retire from chasing people down and taking care of business all the time.
How so?
Well, no reason.
I got a hunch Woj wasn't taking half the show off to go do a slide down Bernie's chalet. I don't think I'm wrong.
Of all the
people. I don't think Woj is taking like a day off to go golf with his mama. I just don't think he's doing that. So excuse me, Jesse. I don't think you're going to compare yourself to Woj. Okay? Like, come
of
on
all
now.
The people in sports
come
media that I'm going to compare Jesse to.
Come on now.
Woj is at the bottom of
Dude,
the list.
He might be the complete opposite of Jesse. Yes, it could be completely
opposite. Are you kidding
opposite.
Me?
No.
You don't see not. Him delegating the scoops.
Well, that's different animal there.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
We need to do a quick segment next, man. So we can get to Uncle Homer. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So we'll get to Homer coming up in a minute.
Hey, but do you guys know what this is?
That's orange juice.
No, this.
That's a fig.
No.
It's a giant grape.
Looks like a blueberry.
Nope. I thought it was a blueberry. And you guys know I love blueberries. Great, healthy antioxidants, everything. Blueberries
pie.
Are great.
Yeah.
Love a good blueberry pie. So there's a little yogurt here. I dip it in there. This ain't no blueberry. That's a plum. Can you? Isn't that crazy?
That's plum crazy.
Yeah.
Do plums have pits?
They do. I bit into it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a tough break for the fancy schmancy wine country guy.
Yeah. Well, it's a pit. Yeah. So.
It's the pits. All right. What is the? All right. I know you're a bigger guy. You played in the NFL. But I don't know.
This is a baby exactly what I thought. It's a baby cup.
This is why you need to watch the video stream when you can.
I thought the same thing, like, boy, either my hands have gotten a lot bigger or this cup is very small.
Fee fi fo fum, I'm drinking my coffee. Yum yum yum.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Giant Tausch will continue from his undisclosed location. We'll get to Homer coming up. Would you drink? I'm gonna change it up a little bit. Would you drink Coors Light out of that tiny of a cup, or would you stick with the Blue Mountain bottles?
I mean, I would if I had to. Of course, I love the 16-ounce wide mouth Silver Bullet, where the mountains are blue. There's a little bit of dew on it. That's what I love. I love to celebrate responsibly too, but when I'm out here, even if it's wine country, I'm still going to have a Coors Light, and it will be Blue Mountain. It will be Blue Mountain because when I need to chill, it's Coors Light in my hand. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Uncle Homer, I'm sorry. The image of that, I couldn't.
What, this?
Oh, now you're doing a baby cup. He's having a tea party.
Pinky out when you're drinking from that, please.
This is so much fun. Uncle Homer joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
You know what that music means. You hear him every weekday on the Homer Hour. He's got John Anderson. He's got Gary Ellerson. He's got Brian Bulaga. He's got Tim Van Boren. I'm lobbying to join him on Wednesdays, so I can at least talk to him 3 days a week. You also hear him as the voice of Marquette Men's Basketball. And you can always catch him on YouTube when you're not watching his show on YouTube. Watching him talk about faith, my faith, with Homer and Pip. It is Steve the Homer. True Homer, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. You'll be on Wednesdays. I've made that decision. Of course, I'm in charge of my show, except
when you're not.
Anything has to be decided. By the way, I don't know where Tausch is. I'm wondering, he's out west or something. I wondered if he was in my, it's been 50 years since my old stomping ground of Encino, California, in my brush with celebrities. Are you in that area or where are you?
No, not in Encino. What's your brush with celebrities?
Balboa Park. Let's see. Shirley MacLaine. Met her. Met, talked with Robert Conrad. Remember him from Wild Wild West?
No.
Dick Van Patten. Eight is Enough. These are probably people that were too old.
Oh, I know them.
Yeah, his son's a professional tennis player. Very good. O.J. Simpson's wife, then wife and kids, used to go to the same McDonald's where I would go. Was meeting with the tennis coach at UCLA when he had to leave me because he said, I got to talk to that guy behind us. I look back, it was Jimmy Connors. Oh, man, I was a total nobody. But
wow, you're like Forrest Gump.
Dick Enberg, I met Dick Enberg teaching tennis lessons at the Wagner's house in I don't know if it was Sherman Oaks or Beverly Hills, wherever.
Robert Wagner?
No, Robert Wagner. No. No, I did not run into him, but that would have been nice. No, Richard, a famous choral leader at UCLA. You can look it up. His kid gave lessons. But I met Dick Enberg later when he did the Al McGuire. And
sure.
And he said, yeah, tennis. Yeah, I remember that. That was my second wife. Seemed like an odd
answer. And you said, oh, my.
I was trying to remember what his tagline was. He was the voice of UCLA.
He was doing a TV show called Sports Challenge or something that was a fabulous show. You'd have to look it up. Clearly, I didn't impress you with any of the names.
No, Dick Enberg.
Dick Enberg for Michael sure.
Shirley MacLaine. I feel like I should know Shirley. What
Steel
was Shirley
Magnolias.
She was
old then. She was just an actress, but I mean that was like 75. She looked 50, 60 years old then. I don't. Let's see. I tried to get on the Joker's Wild. I was a contestant for that game show. I made it through two things, and then they said I wasn't. I didn't have enough energy.
What?
So wow, that doesn't sound. Yeah, that sounds off.
That's got
for you.
Yeah, and clearly I had picked the Joker's Wild because it took no intelligence. You're basically just.
Hey, just hit the button.
Joker.
I think Jack Barry or somebody was the guy in charge there.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're not there. You're not in the Encino area.
I'm not in Encino. No,
that for a place that you're not even in.
Yeah, I'm not in Encino. Homer, was Sunday Matt LaFleur's most meaningful win?
No, not even close.
For him.
No. I mean, I can't speak for that. If it is, then he needs help. It was impressive.
I disagree.
Jeez.
Okay. What? Well, expand. Yeah. Why?
Then
why
he does needs he need help.
It's one regular season game. It may have no impact on anything. The biggest games he's had are in the playoffs, where he had a chance to get his team into the Super Bowl, and they didn't. Yeah, no, they haven't won any of them. I mean, last year, you're telling me that game's bigger than the crushing win over Dallas?
No. Didn't say bigger. Said meaningful for
saying?
Him. Meaningful. And, Homer,
well,
let me expand. We talked about this.
I would think.
We talked about this on Green Bay game night. And I just understand. And you've been in locker rooms. You're an old athlete. There's something to be said when – no, I was actually being nice. I wasn't being a jerk.
That's the best part.
I wasn't even trying to be a jerk. I was trying to be nice. The overcoming things and handling adversity and having to be creative and being at your best when your best was needed from a coaching standpoint, and the fact that he delivered that for his team and for his fan base, I think makes it super meaningful. Jason, I think, had the same thoughts. You poo-pooed it Sunday. You're poo-pooing it again. And
no,
I don't think you should poo-poo
the way
it.
You're reselling that. Is this a special win for him? Yes.
Yeah, meaningful.
For all
meaningful.
The reasons that you stated. Special, yes. For all those reasons. But, you know, the degree to how special it is would scare me. If it's that special, then he's too fragile. This was a great performance and a game that, in the big picture of things, for the course of the season, could end up being meaningless or not that important. But for all the reasons, he will remember that game. Not only
remember
because
the
of what happened, but because
Colts.
It's the exact opposite. He will never coach a game like that ever again where the running game
except
will
for
be
maybe,
the dominant.
Except,
ever, ever,
yeah, except
ever,
for maybe
ever,
this
ever.
Weekend.
Sunday.
No.
Okay, why not?
1978. Do you not understand the history of what they did?
Terdell Middleton. Yeah, I do remember it.
50 years.
That was 1 year ago.
From Green Bay, ran the ball 53 times. 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
By a coach who no one ever thought would do anything of significance running the ball, correct? He's a passer.
I think once Aaron Rodgers, again, this is what his bread and butter. This is what he was hired. His zone scheme, Sean McVay, blah, 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 Kyle Shanahan. But so, no, I think this is – he doesn't – obviously, he had a skew further than he wanted to running it. I don't think he wants to run it that much. But I think he appreciated it. And Homer, Balaga and I and Wildy were just talking about this. Are you worried at all about overusage for Josh Jacobs? Because I say until Jordan Love is back, he's our dog. He's the bell cow. Give him that pill. Let him go. And these guys are all, you better keep him at 20 carries. Where do you stand?
I'm with you. And if they're concerned, then get another running back. Give up a draft choice. Make a trade. Get a free agent. Get somebody so that, you know, you have an alternative if you're not happy with anything you have now. And, yeah, I'm afraid the guy from USC is going to be hurt all the time. But we'll see.
It's definitely started that way. It's been unfortunate. But, yeah, it's. I don't think it's all the time, but that's where he's at right now, yeah.
I mean, yes, I'm going to use Jacob. I mean, you don't have to worry. It's not going to happen again. 0% chance. How many carries do you think they'll have this week?
23. I think he has 23 this week.
Yeah, I'll go with that. And as a team, 30-something, 38,
yep. 30. Get some jet sweeps to read. Maybe right. They got to get Watson involved.
We all agree the only reason this was done is because of the total lack of confidence that he has in his quarterback.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think – who's arguing that?
That's not how it's sold. And the kid did perfect. He gets an A+.
He was awesome. Great. He did exactly what Matt LaFleur asked, and he executed it to a very high level. He deserves a ton of credit. But if you're the Tennessee Titans, you're sitting there saying, I've seen this movie before. You ain't beating us with 250 yards rushing. If you want to Tannehill us and throw for four Bills – we'll tip the cap and you guys walk out of Nashville with a dub, but we ain't letting 250 yards running. Mm-hmm. And I think Matt LaFleur thinks we can run it all day on these guys too.
Yeah. I'm looking very forward to how much LaFleur shows. Fine, you know what we're doing. This is doing. How long will he stay with the run, even if we know it won't be as successful as the last
year? Yep.
That'll be and my guess is he'll stay with it in hopes of copying Mike Ditka again. I think I will be
Mike Ditka.
Disappointed and surprised.
What did Ditka do?
What LaFleur did in the last game, this is how you need the history of it, 1978. What LaFleur did would be similar to Mike Ditka having no Walter Payton and having his quarterback throw the ball 60 times. That's what LaFleur did. So, and I hope he's one to tell Tennessee, yeah, we're running again. Even the key, as you will know and see, the key isn't what do you do when you run the ball great. The key is how long will we continue running it when it doesn't go as well.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Great point, Homer.
So, Homer, I guess my question for you on this is kind of multi-leveled, but as an observer, do you want this week to be not for Matt LaFleur, not for Jordan Love safety, whatever, but do you kind of want to see Malik Willis for another week to see what they conjure up, or do you want Jordan Love back?
No,
I do.
No, I want Jordan Love. I want Jordan Love.
I'm in Tausch's club. I want another week of Malik.
If he's 105% healthy, I'm in. If he's not, sit him another week, bring him in for the Viking game.
No, and here's why. The key to playing Jordan Love is fundamentally whether you believe he's smart enough to make the proper plays and do the proper things to protect himself, and I think he is.
No, if he's able to protect himself physically.
Of like Tua. Tua is the exact opposite, that he's still not sliding. But
careful.
If I have faith in Jordan Love, no, Tua can't play football again, but that's because of Tua.
Tua will play football again.
Fine.
You
want to
put a little something on that? What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I will not bet on that because he's clearly.
Well, it's too bad. I dropped a little something at Ted's. I thought you already put that out there. So.
What?
I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
No, I am kidding. I didn't go to Ted's yet.
I'll go 20.
I can't. It's illegal to do that across state lines. I can't do that. Just for the record, I'm not doing anything. I know people are listening. No, I'm not doing anything. Nope. Nothing.
From Encino, California, there is no better.
No, this is about you being the voice of the bad.
No, it's just me not doing it. No, I just am not. I don't. No, I'm not doing it. So.
So I part of the wanting to see, I think Jordan Love is clearly able to play. And I would like to see him play because I think he's smart enough to to do the right things and protect himself and stay healthy, and they're a better team. But
I want to see if we can repeat this, and I want Jordan Love to be 100% healthy when he comes back. I don't want him at 50 or 60% because I don't think I need him this week.
Go watch a movie. This isn't the movie time. This is win time.
Yeah.
If remember he's healthy, the Titans.
If he's 100% healthy, play him. If he's 70%, sit him another week. That's all.
All right, what if he's 80? What if he's 80?
He needs to be 86.5% in order to play.
It's the prize picks projection.
86.
We can continue this, but I think he's not going to play. I
don't either.
Yesterday on the show.
And I'll be excited to watch because I think it will be more fascinating. Both will be fascinating storylines.
Yeah.
And I don't want this. I want after this week, I want this, the Malik Willis experiment to be done. And I want to move on to the
love show.
Mm-hmm. But this week, I can't believe I'm going to say it. I think I'd prefer to watch this form of the Packers again to see if we can do it again.
Duplicate it. Right, exactly.
Like DJ Khalid again. That's what I'm hoping for.
I'm sure you felt that way as a player. You know, it might not be the best way to end, but I'm just really curious.
Hey. I ain't a player anymore, bro.
Entertain me.
I am an analyst, and I am selfish. I know what I want to see, so it's more about old T now.
I can tell you what you should want is a win, because the more wins, the more people and interest there is. You want to win. You don't want entertaining.
I
want
to win in a fun way.
You need to do whatever's necessary to win.
It's win in a fun way.
All right, Homer, before you go, I'm just curious, because I got to watch – just a bit outside the documentary about the 82 Brewers that Kelly Call and those guys made, and I've seen the great reviews it's gotten. I really enjoyed it. I got goosebumps watching it. That's my team from when I was 10 years old. But you were doing shows and talking about that team back then, weren't you?
Actually, I was not. In my life, I've spent almost everything since I left California in Wisconsin. Other than that year, I was in Nebraska. I came back just after the...
You missed it?
Well, no. I remember watching it. I had worked in New Richmond, so I knew the players. They were... and I remember watching it thinking, did they ever wash their uniforms in Milwaukee? These guys have the dirtiest uniforms. I arrived when Trevor Horn or whoever took over next, and they had a disaster on the West Coast the following year and couldn't continue. But I probably have stayed in touch more with Robin Yount. He does not like it when I tell him that he looks homeless. Have great conversations with Jim Gantner. The latest one was on Monday in the golf outing for juvenile diabetes. He is amazed how good the team is, impressed. A huge fan of the new manager, and he said the second baseman is better than he was, except that they no longer risk getting killed when they have to turn a double play.
It's true.
He said the position is not the same.
Soft.
What?
No, I'm just joking.
No, Homer? So the game is soft. Game is soft.
That's yeah, true. All everything's gotten softer, but it's probably smarter, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Homer? I'll talk to you later.
Great episode today. Homer, that was a great episode. You were
really good.
That was
well
one
done,
of your
sir.
Best that you've done. Reasonable, thoughtful.
I think he already hung up on me. I think he already said bye.
He doesn't like anyone say anything nice. He prefers. People always ask me if like Homer and I have battles. It's like he likes that. That's what he likes.
Much prefers that than you giving him compliments.
If I say anything nice about him, he hangs up.
Well, say something nice about Quick Trip instead then.
Oh, I'm doing Quick Trip. I was ready for Johnson & Sons, but I'm always ready for Quick Trip. And, of course, my go-to right now is straight-up ground beef from the Quickery. $2.99 a pound. We've made burgers a bunch this summer from scratch. It's the perfect ingredient. And then you know what we do? We get that white bread, 99 cents a loaf. And we get the cheese. You put that on there, you grill it up. It is beautiful. You can make grilled cheese as well. And is today Wednesday?
Today is Wednesday.
Oh, baby, $9.99. For chicken tenders and bone-in chicken. What a deal. What a deal. I know Grandma picked up some roasted chicken on Monday. That was for $5.99. What a deal that was. And I'm sure, you know, you're always needing after a meal. Get a little Nature's Touch vanilla or chocolate ice cream, $2.99. all of those deals and more at Quick Trip. Download the Quick Rewards app today, order ahead, and earn points. Take care of the payment and just stop by to pick it all up or get it brought to you curbside.
I want to break down a little bit more about this Jordan Love aspect and whether or not you want to see him out there.
Pull I'm that, sure. Jason, pull it.
I will definitely pull that, and
pull
we'll talk
it in
about
a
it.
Smart way.
I will do the best I can.
That's all.
Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
In the field, but you, I don't have your itinerary today, sir. But you will be still on the show, but you will not be on video.
Yeah,
is
my
that
video
correct, Amundo?
Yep, yeah, tomorrow I'll be back on video. Friday I'll be on video for most of the show, believe, today.
Hey, we're just glad you're on the show. The show's better when you're here, even though we got a great stable of
cousins.
Well,
How did you word the poll?
Okay, I wrote it this way because I do think that people are going to think I'm an idiot, and I appreciate you being on my team.
Yeah.
I worded it this way. Today's Wildy and Tausch poll question. Obviously, as a Packers fan, you want your team to win on Sunday in Tennessee, but is there part of you that wants to see another week of Malik? I kind of like the way that rang.
Yeah, I knew when you said it, you were going to use that more.
If Matt LaFleur can conjure up another brilliant winning game plan. Your choices are, yes, curious to see that, or no, get 10 back ASAP. At first I wrote, no, Wildy's an idiot. Which is fair, but you're on my team on this, so with your little baby cup. I took that out and just, but I could feel the sarcasm. And as of right now, it must be a good poll because I don't have that blue check mark that people pay for. And so I've been pushed down by your boy Elon. I don't get I'm not as high up in the rotation as I used to be. But it's got 86 votes in like 2 minutes.
It's a super interesting question. Like I'm really interested, and we all want Jordan Love healthy and back. But is he going to be healthy? And the Titans, how good are the Titans? I mean, we don't know. They have not proven to be very good on offense. I think their defense is pretty good. But I loved what I saw. It was so fun because it was different. We're hopefully, fingers crossed, going to see Jordan Love in this offense for the next decade be really good and efficient.
Yeah.
We're not going to see a lot of that. So I'm not asking to see a month of this. I want to see, can we do it again? That's fascinating to me. All right, we have to, because I'm going to leave the video. Jesse,
wait a minute.
Do you have anything else?
But wait, okay, so here's the only concern I have.
What's that?
We are still a radio show. So if we play the video of
you have
Jesse
one of the prominent
the slide,
play-by-play people,
so Jesse's going to play-by-play the video
yes,
of himself.
You can't just play a video on audio on an audio platform. That's not how this works.
Can I do it in my fake radio voice, which I was doing with Cindy yesterday to irritate her?
But Jesse is the prominent
he
play-by-play.
Is. Just
voice.
Ask him; he'll tell you.
And you know he's going to be very flattering of himself. Like, you know that.
Look at this svelte fellow who's dropped 25 pounds in the last month.
He looks great.
That's 27.
I stand corrected. All right, so you're going to do the play-by-play of yourself.
Uh-huh.
And then Tausch is going to tell us about Johnson and Sons paving before he slides
I'm gonna analyze,
off the video.
I'm going to analyze Jesse's announcement, too.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
I don't really understand how we're going for this here, but all right, here we go.
Jesse, you're preaching to the choir, brother.
For those watching on the video stream, you're about to see the video. For those who are listening, wish us luck.
I hope you enjoy the show.
All right. It's only 11 seconds long, so this is going to go fast here.
That's about right.
All right. We got Jesse Nelson stepping up on Bernie's slide, gets situated, burlap sack and all, gives a little push down the slide. He goes from an aerial view.
He's going to fall.
He's going big and out of sight as he sticks the landing on the bottom end of Bernie's slide.
You don't even see the landing.
What is this? Jesse down Bernie's slide. Oh, what a day.
Is there another camera angle at the bottom?
That is not it. That can't be it. That's it?
This is it. This is what we got. Here we go.
Are you serious?
You got kind of short legs, too.
Thanks. Appreciate that. 27 pounds down.
Look great. Listen, you look great.
Did you think we had like a production crew at this thing that had like reverse angles sticking it together?
Why did you not put a GoPro on your big old mug? What are you doing? This is, we get to see you slide, and then the ending is
you
the whole
disappear.
Thing. That's when the guy busts his arm, not in the beginning.
I see.
Who's tucking that burlap sack?
Oh, we got audio now.
Woo-hoo!
Sound like Dunzo going down the slide.
It was fun.
All right, so you're telling me that there wasn't a second camera at the end of the slide.
You talk about disappointing. No offense, Jesse.
Overhyped, underdelivered
there,
baby.
That's the opposite of GKB's principles
It's the opposite of Johnson & Sons paving
when
it comes to your new driveway.
I'm telling you, I'm seeing people pounding pavement out here. I'm excited. Get ready for spring now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over the winter. Potholes, crack curbs, drainage issues. If those things are bad now, call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed today. Schedule a free, no obligation at all, quote, and a walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of asphalt pavement work needed by spotting fatigue cracking, standing water, warping or buckling, sinking pavement, and more. Don't scare away your customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now. Save money later. JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com.
I don't mean to be whatever, but I was really looking forward to that video.
I was, too. It's totally disappointing.
Built up
this
expectation.
I wanted to see the ending. Did your knees buckle in? What happened?
Hang on. This is going to take a second. Stall for a minute.
Okay.
So, Tausch, where are you going? Where you're not going to be on video out there in Encino, California.
I'm not going to Encino. Is that Pauly Shore? Encino Man?
Yes, Encino Man.
Oh, what a movie.
Brendan Fraser.
That was such a good movie. I remember thinking that was a fantastic flick, and now I'm sure I probably look at it and think, that's not very good.
Right in the pantheon of Dude, Where's My Car? All right, Jesse.
Does this mean
we have angle two?
We've got a reverse angle. Yes, we can check the replay. We've got a second camera that was in place.
Here we go.
Here we come around the corner, and boom! Look at that. Easy landing right there, huh?
That's what I'm talking about. That looked good.
I can see now how that guy broke his arm, though.
If you're actually flying in there, I could see a knee buckle. I could see an arm buckle. I could see there's a lot of buckling.
You turn just wrong. You start to tumble there at the end. Yeah, I could see that.
That was graceful how I stuck that at
the end. Yes. Well, now we splice that all together, and we'll send it to New York for replay review. All right. That is the end of the 10 o'clock hour. Tausch will still be with us, hopefully, but he will not be on the video stream. We'll just play an endless loop on video of Jesse going down Bernie's slide.
Now he spliced that together.
He did. He's such a pro.
He's good.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. More next.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.